Thank you, Lord. We bless you for your word. We ask, Lord, that your written word would become a living word in each one of our hearts this morning. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There's different ways that I find people look at churches. Now, in the Anglican tradition, and this is also true in other denominations, you have a yearly end of the year report that you have to fill out for the diocese. And it asks questions like, what's your average Sunday morning attendance last year? How many people received communion last year? What was your budget at the beginning of the year? And what was it at the end of the year? And then it'll describe people, how many people are older than, are under the age of 16? How many baptisms were there? How many marriages were there? It'll ask a lot of statistical questions, and it's not to say those aren't important. They are important, but that is a way that sometimes churches are described. Sometimes churches are described by their location. Someone says, where's your church? And you say, well, it's easy. It's right across from Copley High School. Sometimes people say, well, what kind of programs do you have in your church? Sometimes they say, who's the pastor and how long does he preach? They're different questions, and it's not that the questions aren't important, that they don't have value. In my former church, I would mention Anglican, and I would have people say, what's an Anglican? And that became the title, which we hope to become. And so you have these conversations about what your church is or looks like. I want to stretch us this morning. I like God to stretch me usually. But I think the Lord wants us to stretch a little bit today. Stretching is good. The idea of church in Scripture is a lot different than the world describes. It is much different. It's not that these descriptions aren't important, they are, but there's an aspect where they fall short. And here's a scripture about the church. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. There's a description of the church from the biblical point of view. It's more than numbers. It's more than Anglicanism. It's more than programs. It's all of those things are all needed in churches. But the idea is that every program, everything that happens in a church would be filled with the presence of God. Presence of God, that the ushering ministry would be filled with the presence of God, that the greeter ministry would be filled with the presence of God, that when people come through the doors and they see a greeter, that they would have a sense of the presence of God greeting them, that the Eucharist has the presence of God, of Christ. That the men's ministry be filled with the presence of God, that women's Bible studies and ministry be filled with the presence of God, that every Sunday morning when we worship, it would be filled with the presence of God, That people would see a sign in front of every church in Copley saying, "This church in Copley is filled with the presence of God. Come and meet the Lord today. We're not just going to talk about Him. We're not just going to think about Him, but we're going to experience the supernatural power and presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father as we gather together." That's a picture of what a church biblically would look like. A place where the presence of God, yes, it would be Anglican, yes, it would be Baptist, all these things are great things, but in the midst of them, it's filled with the supernatural presence of God. In Corinthians today, it talked about the practical aspect of being the presence of God in the life of the church. It said, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. For just as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit." The way the church becomes filled with the presence of God today and every day is a church where people understand that ministry is not something we do in our own strength and ability, but it's by the Spirit. It's the power of God that enables us. It's the power and presence of God that instructs us. It's the power and presence of God that leads and directs us in the things that God calls us to be about in the church. And when every person in the church becomes filled with the power of God, the Holy Spirit releases gifts into their life. And as they exercise their ministries, people encounter the real presence of God. There's a prayer that sometimes we pray as prayer ministers get ready at the time of the Eucharist, to anoint and pray for us. And the prayer is that every person that comes forth, whatever it be, that as we anoint them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and pray that they would encounter the presence of God. Amen. That God would do something fresh and new in their life, whether it's healing, whether it's answering the prayer they asked for, or doing something bigger. That it's all about God. It's all about God. It's all about God. That leads us into Acts. And in Acts, we heard the testimony of the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus had talked to his disciples at the time of his going back to the Father. And he said, wait in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Wait in the city. Now, if I had been a disciple, I would say, yeah, I got it. So I go off in ministry and say, here's the kingdom of God, and people laugh. Show us the kingdom. I can't. I don't have the power. But here, Jesus said, wait. And so they waited. They waited. And it talks about they are all together in one place, and suddenly, I love the word suddenly, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and the sound of the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed, they were astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites? Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, and we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed. They were perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. There it was, the beginning of the church, of what the church was to be. The church was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The church was called to be filled with the presence of God. The word baptism, baptism in the Spirit, baptism isn't a sprinkling. It's not even a pouring. It's being saturated. It's being filled. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's being filled with the presence of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, starts stirring in your life and these supernatural gifts. And by the way, supernatural gifts don't require yelling or shouting or anything. They can be very gentle. Very peaceful, but it's the presence and power of God initiating gifts, and that as we enter into doing those ministries and those things in the life of the church and take it out into Copley and the world, that there's a supernatural experience people have of encountering God. Yes. There it is, encountering God, His presence. So Peter starts preaching. Peter, who denied the Lord three times, Peter, who was full of pride that he would stick with the Lord thick and thin, made all sorts of announcements, promises, that the Lord said, yeah, right. But Peter said, you don't understand, Lord. You're the Son of God, but you don't understand. Peter denied the Lord three times. He had to be broken to receive. See, there's a tendency for people that we do things in our own ideas and strength and say, Lord, could you make up with a little bit of the Holy Spirit for something I lack? And the Lord laughs. He says, you're incapable of anything. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Amen? That's what God wants. A people that are humble. A people that say, I can't do this, Lord. Lord, this is beyond my power. This is beyond. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this summer vacation Bible school. I really don't know how to usher. I don't know how to do stuff. But Lord, you do. So would you fill me up? Fill me up with your Holy Spirit. When Scripture describes the church, and after Peter has preached, 3,000 come to the Lord. 3,000. The church arrives, and it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Gosh, I love that. When Charlene shared her testimony, I saw her testimony when it happened. And then I saw her testimony out in the parking lot 20 minutes later when she was leaving, and she rolled down the window, and it was kind of like, did you hear what happened? And she's shaking. I mean, God was all over Charlene.
He still is.
Amen. He still is. The presence of God is what she encountered. Isn't that amazing? And I went home and told other people what happened to Charlene, and it continues. But the thing was, it was an encounter with God, the way the church is meant to be. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. The power of the Holy Spirit was releasing ministry gifts, supernatural things, but was supernaturally causing the congregation there to come into unity. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. When Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with power, but we're also filled with the love of God. Here's Charlene's testimony. She was filled with love. Supernatural, guys. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow. It used to be a joke about churches at Christmas time competing for new members and who could have the best living nativity scene in front of their church and who had wild animals actually there for the stable, and the kind of one-upmanship. And here the Lord says, you don't have to do that. You can. It's okay. But make sure it's filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if the things of the church are filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't have to compete with other churches. You'll say, Lord, I pray you convert people to go to every church. And Lord, we welcome those who are coming here because they're experiencing the presence of God. The Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit show up? The Holy Spirit looks for people like Peter and the apostles who were broken. They were men who so wanted to follow the Lord, and they would sometimes get it, but often they didn't. And finally, when they came into a place of brokenness and surrender of their pride and giving their lives, the Lord said, those are the people. Those are the people I'm going to pour out my Spirit on first. And then it's going to go to others. There's a word I sensed this morning that this was a time of stirring of gifts. Some of us, I believe, have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we've been given gifts, but sometimes we start operating out of a different current, electrical current, and we slip into it. We don't realize it. And so the supernatural giftings sometimes become passive, and we're really not aware of that happening. And I felt like the Lord was saying this morning that he wanted to fan into flame gifts that are already here. He wanted to stir the pot, if you will, in a good way. To stir the pot, that the gifts that are already here would have new life. As the Spirit, whenever the Spirit comes, there's new life. There's new life. That this morning would be a time of that stirring up of these gifts. It would also be a time for some of us that and I did this for a long time, walking in two worlds, the world of the Lord and the world of the flesh. And the Lord had to allow me fail many, many times before I started to get it. That it'd be better to surrender my life to the Lord who loved me and could take care of me than to run my own life. And so this morning's the time to surrender to the Lord, to say, Lord, I want to be like Peter. I'm broken. I want to come to you and say, you are my Lord. It's a morning to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. But it's also a time to be filled with the Holy Spirit again, because this is the thing, when you read the book of Acts, is that there's this wonderful experience of Pentecost where they're filled with the Spirit, but then you hear of them being filled with the Spirit again and again. Yeah. Again and again. I get tired. I get so tired sometimes. Nothing to do with age, it's just you get tired. Sometimes the Lord says, I just want to fill you again. Awaken your spirit. Awaken the gifts. Awaken all the things so that the day comes that people walk in and say, I'm here in the presence of God. He's all over this place. I'm encountering the presence of God in every ministry. I experience the presence of God and the chalice bearers and all that minister around the altar. I experience the presence of God. Let's stand and pray. Lord, I thank you for your promise that the fullness of Spirit wasn't only for the 120 believers and apostles at Pentecost and for the 3,000 converted that day, but you said through your word that the promise is for all flesh, for men and women, it's for children, it's for all people, Lord. Lord, I pray for my church. I just love my church. We love this church, Lord. And Lord, we want it to be filled with you always. We thank you for all the ways that we encounter you in worship and encounter you at the Eucharist and encounter you and one another, and the ministry's already here, but Lord, there's always more. We want more of you. More of you to fill us, Lord, to fill this place. That, Lord, true to your word, your presence would be great in this place, even more than it is now. Lord, that your glory, as we sang earlier, would fall more and more. The glory of your presence, Lord. And Lord, we confess our brokenness, our weakness, our always trying to do things for you. And Lord, we get weary and tired and we start feeling older and older. And Lord, but the Holy Spirit, you don't age. You're fresh. Yeah. you're fully alive every moment, every second, and always will be, always have been. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come again, just to come to fill us, to create in our hearts expectancy, as the apostles had, that they went expecting you were going to be true to your promise, to baptize them. That, Lord, like them, create expectancy in us for this moment. That you're coming, Holy Spirit. You're coming.
You are here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for a holiness that you're releasing in us and cleansing us, getting us ready, purifying us. We choose to walk in that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.